All right. I may be switching glasses back and forth because I'm one of those people who loses glasses continuously and has a whole bunch of dollar store glasses. And I don't know which is going to be more effective, but
you'll still be able to see because you're unblinded by Jesus.
That's right. Because I am unblinded by Jesus. Amen. Amen. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So this is a little taller, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see which is better. These are better. No. No. No, actually, when we built our house, we raised everything up in our house because I was the shortest person in the house. So we have all our counters are up 4 to 6 inches, and everything in our house is up. So I'm used to this. So anyway, before I get into the text this morning, I'd like to give a little bit of a background on Saul. So in today's language, when I say today, I of course mean the 90s, but in today's language, he would be called a type A personality. He was large and in charge, not only in his adulthood, but even as a little child. He came from an affluent Jewish family from the tribe of Benjamin. He held Roman citizenship, so he had dual citizenship. He studied in Jerusalem, which was the place to be. He studied under Gamaliel, which was the number one Jewish teacher of the time. He even called himself, later in Philippians, Paul called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So he was all that and more. So he was the, and if he, what Gamaliel said was, later on with Jesus, he said, "Listen, rabbis, if this Jesus is the Son of God, you won't be able to stop him." And he said, "And if he's not the Son of God, this will all fizzle out and disappear." Well, we are proof that this didn't fizzle out and disappear. Amen? Okay. So Saul was a persecutor of Christians, and he enjoyed persecuting Christians because he was very, very devout, and he felt that that was the right thing to do at the time. And it was easy for him to find Christians because everywhere the Christians went, they left a wake of believers behind them, okay? So poor Saul, he was irritated by Jesus and by Jesus' followers. So now Jesus is risen, and he is risen.
Risen indeed.
Thank you. And he's still getting bugged by Jesus. And this is not what he expected. So he's very angry. And he gets angry at these people that come into the temple. And they say, "Look, I don't know who he is. I just know that I was blind and now I can see. Or I don't know who he is. I just know that from birth I couldn't walk and now I can. Or I don't know. I just went out in the desert because everybody was going out there. I went out there to hear this man speak and realized I didn't take my lunch with me and none of us had any food. And I watched this little boy with a few loaves and a few fish. And suddenly we all had enough food and we were not just fed, but we were full. We were fed to full. I don't know. I just know that this is what he did." Well, Saul didn't like that at all. And so Saul was goaded by all the talk. Do you know what it means to be goaded? It's a very, very old term, and it means, I'm going to put a picture up here for you. It means a stick with a sharp object on the end of it. And farmers used it as they were plowing. If the oxen decided to go a little wayward, they would use the goad to kind of push on their backside and in their back of their legs, and it was sharp and it would be painful and it would turn them in the right direction. When the oxen were stubborn, they would kick against the goad. Not a wise thing to do because the goad would then go right into their leg and it would be more painful. So it was a prompt, in other words. And Saul was goaded many times by Jesus to turn him around and help him see the light. This thing on Damascus Road was not all that sudden. Jesus had been chasing Paul for years. He had been talking to Paul. He had been putting people in Paul's path. Now, Paul is now Saul right now, okay? But he had been putting people in Saul's path to show him who Jesus was, and he never would accept it. Even when his teacher, Gamaliel, said those things, he said, I'm going to reject that because I'm after these Christians. So it was simply the only way Saul would listen is to be blinded by light. Pastor Dennis Lee clarified the encounter, saying, Jesus wants to confront us today with the light of his truth in his presence. And his desire for us is to quit kicking against the leadings of the Holy Spirit and come into the fullness of his light and presence. How many of us have kicked for a while before we came to Jesus? Amen? So at the beginning of our text, this very zealous Saul is breathing out murderous threats against Christians, and he goes so far as to get a reference. This is how dedicated he is. He's going to go to the leadership, get a reference letter, and trek 150 to 175 miles to Damascus so he can gather up any Christians he finds, leave the children, march the women and fathers back to Jerusalem, throw them in prison, and throw away the key. Saul was very determined. He had this burning desire to get them off the street and silence them so that the respectable Jewish teaching could go on unencumbered. No signs and wonders, no peaceful conversation like that of Stephen was going to convince Saul. And honestly, no Christian wanted to evangelize Saul. He was scary, he was threatening, and they wanted to stay away from him. And so we find Saul today on this blinding encounter with Jesus. And he's hearing Jesus' audible voice say, Saul, Saul, twice. What do we know about when Jesus says something twice? You better listen, right? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul didn't realize that when anyone attacks Christians, they're attacking Jesus as well. Because where does Jesus live? In our hearts. So we must be careful to speak love as Jesus did, but also be prepared to endure some persecution. Amen? Jesus' words would change Saul's life destiny. Jesus got his attention with the light, but he also got his attention with doubling his name. This has only happened about 7 times in the Bible, and this was the last historical account of this happening, when Jesus repeated somebody's name. But every single time that Jesus repeated somebody's name twice, even when he said truly, truly, he was about to say something profound and something potentially life-changing. Amen? Abraham, Abraham. He said that as Abraham held the knife to sacrifice his son because Jesus had told him to, or God had told him to do so. And he stopped him because he said, I was testing your faith and you have been worthy. Jacob, Jacob. The Lord tells him as he's grieving the fact that he's never going to see his favorite son Joseph ever again, he says, you will see Joseph again, because Jacob thought that Joseph was dead. Moses, Moses, from the burning bush, God is talking to Moses and calling Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And that's when Moses is saying, I'm not a leader, I don't even know how to speak. And he's saying, Moses, Moses, you're going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Samuel, Samuel, as the little boy kept getting up in the night, hearing his voice, God was saying, it's important to listen when I speak. Martha, Martha, that's me. Slow down. Spend some time at the feet of Jesus. Simon, Simon, watch out for Satan's snares. Get back up after you fall. Now I want to ask you to do something. I want you to say your name out loud twice. Can you imagine if you heard that voice coming out of heaven and there was nobody in the room with you and you heard that voice out of heaven saying your name twice? Would you pay attention? Well, Saul was paying attention now. And he's saying, you don't actually realize it, Saul, but you're persecuting me, God. Jesus would clearly answer the question Paul asked, who are you, Lord? He would give Saul 3 days to see the light. He would open the eyes of Saul's heart first before he opened his physical eyes. Over the years, people have tried to explain this experience away. They've said, oh, Saul got heat stroke, or there was a bolt of lightning that temporarily blinded him. That was not the case. There were two companions with him. They heard the voice. They didn't see anybody, but they heard the voice. And they were taught, and what was being talked about was Paul's current lifestyle, which was persecution. Now, there's no doubt that this was Jesus. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a spoiler alert. The persecutor Saul would go on to be the peace proclaimer Paul. He would lose everything he had. Remember, he was raised affluent. He was raised in the church. He was raised in the temple, okay? Everybody knew Saul's family. He was large and in charge. He would lose everything for Jesus Christ. Everything except one thing, and that is his zeal. His zeal would be turned around for Jesus, and it would be focused on an unusual population, the Gentiles. And that's why we're in here today. Amen. While Luke wrote the largest volume of words in the New Testament, Paul would write the largest volume of New Testament books, including Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and even part of Hebrews. Paul fulfilled his assignment in a huge way. Instead of being blinded by the light permanently, he was unblinded by the light of Jesus. True discipleship was revealed to him, and he was a new creation. And he even ended up sitting in jail, beaten, singing praises to God. Now, our life story may be one of failures or attempts at being good. We may be older and look back and have regrets about our interaction with others. We may have led a life of devout following to our Savior Jesus, but have regrets about not taking every opportunity to bring others to Jesus and let them know how much Jesus loves them. Maybe you've had habits that are sinful or destructive and have been thinking about them, or maybe you're thinking about returning to them. God goes pretty far to get our attention. Martin Spelstra said, if God is forced to choose between our eternal safety and our earthly comfort, which one do you think he's going to choose? Amen. Max Lucado laid it out even more clearly. He said, God's goal is not to make you happy. His goal is to make you his. His goal is not to get you what you want, but to get you what you need. And if that means a jolt or two to get you in your seat, then amen, let's be jolted. Kairos is a word that means the prompting from God in holy moments. And sometimes he may even use pain to prompt us to his calling. Discerning these moments with the help of the Holy Spirit requires us to pray and have quiet time and hear God's voice. We have to pray unceasingly. That means pray all day long. It's not just morning and evening prayers. It's prayers as we do our daily chores. It's prayers all the time. It's talking to God continuously. We have to have quiet time. If you're a Martha, that requires discipline. Amen?
Amen.
We have to hear God's voice. And how do we hear? We shut our mouth. And we listen. Sometimes he has to repeat over and over and over again until we're ready to submit, just like Saul. Saul was stubborn. God spoke right out loud to get his attention, and he would later incur much pain, much emotional pain, much physical pain for following the prompting of God. And God still uses pain sometimes to get our attention at times during life's most difficult moments. Pain can be a life coach because it's also part of the process of sanctification. Do you know what sanctification means? It means to become holy. To become holy, to become like Christ to other people in the world. God uses our most difficult times to change us or help us accept the inevitable. So are you listening to God today? Is his voice the loudest one that you hear? I pray yes. Listening to God is far more important than giving him our ideas and our agendas. All of us, if we're honest, have too much baggage. When I was 19 years old, I took a college study tour of France and the surrounding countries. As a 19-year-old female, needless to say, I packed too many clothes and too many suitcases. And mind you, I'm a little older, so suitcases at that time, in fact, it was the standard graduation from high school gift. Suitcases in those days were Samsonite, hardbound, heavy, and no wheels, okay? Within a half a week of our daily moving, I had repacked the largest case with the items that I probably would not need. You can put the next picture up. Rick found this picture. That I did not pack that many bags, but that big case stayed in the travel van for the rest of my trip. So since I had to carry every day to new places, Saul was traveling with too much baggage too. But his baggage was the mental and emotional kind. Hebrew school, perfectionism, upbringing, expectations. So much was packed into his heart that he could only fight for what he truly believed was right. So he was blinded. He was blinded by his heritage. He was blinded by his driven personality. He was blinded by his rage at Christians. All of us have too much baggage. But Jesus is so sweet and so loving and so kind that he meets each and every one of us, baggage included, right where we are. And for some of us, that took a blinding light experience to carry us to another road. That's why we call that term a Damascus experience. To this day, people say, "Have you ever had a Damascus road experience?" And that's what it means. On that road, Saul was confronted, and he was changed, and he was challenged as a new life was offered by Jesus. For some of us, it was a still small voice repeatedly convincing us that we're loved and we're to love others. Either way, we're followers of Jesus because he loved us first enough to not leave us the way we were. He goads us. He prompts us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit whispers something into our spirit and we say no. And he whispers again. And again, until we listen and surrender. So God speaks to us in a whisper or an occasional shout. Only God knows what blinding light we will respond to best. Our key is to be prepared to listen. Have you shared your Damascus Road experience with others? Because all he really needs for you to share with others is what Jesus has done to make a difference in your life. That's your story. Today, Jesus is calling us to a life encounter. Think about your name repeated twice again. What would he have you know right now? What would Jesus have you do right now? Is the Holy Spirit whispering an idea in your spirit to leave a legacy to Jesus in teaching others, in reaching others, or in loving others? Your blinding light, your life encounter may change over time as well. at this older stage of my life, God is calling me to spend more time with my husband and to do some traveling that we've said we were going to do for years. But God will still put people in our path. When we went back to Kentucky a few years ago, we went to the Ark Encounter, and we were walking through and talking with another couple that was walking through at the same time. And we really enjoyed them, but we figured we'd never see them again. And the next day we drove 40 miles to the Creation Museum. And guess who was there? That couple. So we ended up having lunch together and telling each other our story and talking about what Jesus has done in our lives. God brings us people wherever we go. And I believe that we will, I know for a fact, I told the girls Thursday night, I said, I know for a fact that we will be in the jail until one of us is wheeling the other one in and beyond, because that's where our heart is. That's where our heart is. We love going into the jails and hope to continue to do this. And this is Jim Whidney, who has gone on to heaven now, but he was the one that came to Pastor Rick, and he said, remember the other church when you used to do the jails? Can we start that back up again? And Rick said, absolutely. And that's been over 20 years ago now. Professor Julius Soyinka said, the Lord asked Saul, why are you persecuting me, or why are you walking outside of my will and my perfect plans for your life? God is not pleased when we're unable to discover and walk in his will and his perfect plans for our lives. And he is asking us a similar question, and it needs to be addressed by us. He went on to say, all who belong to the Lord of any age have a glorious eternity before them. And God's plan has an earthly part, which is the foundation of the building, and a heavenly part, which can be likened to the structure of the building. So go to the next one. Next one. So here's a man who is building a foundation for a building. All right? Has an earthly part, which is like the foundation for a building. But look what happens when he gives us the heavenly part. Look at the next picture. When he gives us the heavenly part of our journey. Our walk with Jesus Christ is a glorious journey. It's an exciting journey. What is he pulling on your heart to do for the church right now? Are you stuck in unforgiveness of your own past? Are you fighting against his call? Like Saul, that only delays God's inevitable plan. God will have his way with you. Life is so much more exciting when we're looking for opportunities to serve others and focus less on ourselves. He piles on blessings after blessings when we're serving him. There are times when we may feel hurt, or we may have some things set aside, some things that we love, but Jesus continues to call each and every one of us into new service. He never leaves us stagnant unless we choose to turn inward. So quit fighting his will. What does God want from you in this season of your life? And if you're not sure, well, you can talk to Pastor Robert or Sarah about the things that you enjoy, whether it's a hobby or it's in the church, and I bet that they can figure out a way for you to serve. The service call from God may include a new destination, a new call, a new vocation, a new education, a new hobby, but God will lead the way. Ask God first as you dedicate to him in prayer, his word, obedience, and trust. He will make your path straight. He will light it up, but you will be unblinded by that light, so that you will get a peace that passes your human understanding and that is joyfully serving him. Because life with Jesus is a wonderful adventure. How wonderful it is to serve God faithfully, to listen when his Spirit says to move, to listen when he says, minister to these others that I've placed in front of you, no matter what that location is. It could be the gas station. Can each of us be as passionately serious about our future as Saul turned Paul was. What better blessing would there be from God to say our name twice as we meet him at the gate of heaven and hear him follow with his, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.